Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Christ Yahushua, also known as Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and the object of this program, for the time being, is to go through the Scripture. And we started at Genesis and went through Exodus, and we've landed in the book of Leviticus. Of course, Leviticus is mostly instruction for the tabernacle, priest, and sacrificial system, though it does have a lot of the law for the children of Israel written in it, and we've been learning a lot by going through it. I know there's a whole class of people out there that believe that the law was nailed to the cross. Yeah, that's because that's what their leaders have told them in the corporate church, in the state church. And a lot of people go to church and they think, well, my church isn't a state church. Well, if it's incorporated with the state, it is a state church, and the state has made rules for the church to follow. If it breaks those rules, it loses its privileged position with the state. And that's an entanglement that is an ungodly entanglement. The scripture calls it whoredom. Another phrase for it in the book of Revelation for the church that is aligned with the state is the whore that rides the beast. Of course, the whore being the church that is playing the harlot, and the beast being the governments of men. So a lot of people would say that because they were taught that the law was nailed to the cross, and they don't have to pay any attention to the Old Testament, that it's not important if it was written in the Old Testament, that was for the children of Israel. That was for Israel, and they would say something like, that was for the Jews. But, well, let's take a look at the New Testament. But first, let's recap where we left off. At Leviticus chapter 7 and verse 26, he says, well, back up a little bit. Yahuwah spoke to Moses, that is the Lord, and his name is in the Tetragrammaton. The name Yahuwah is phonetically correct, at least to my assertion, and the best that many researchers can assert as to how the name of the Creator was to be pronounced in the Hebrew. Some say Yahweh, but you know, that's not real. That's kind of a Greekized or Hellenized version. And as Jesus is, and Jesus is even more obscure than that, because the name Jesus is a Latinized form of the Greek name Jesus, which is a Greek form, supposedly, of the name Yahushua. So, I mean, how many steps do you make away before you decide to go back to the original? Well, that's why I say his name Yahushua. And I'm fairly like 99.9% sure that that is phonetically correct, though I may not have the accent, the true Hebrew accent down. But in English, that would be a phonetically correct pronunciation of the name of the Messiah. That would be what his mother and his father named him when they presented him on the eighth day at the temple. They pronounced his name very similar to Yahushua. So Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, you shall eat no manner of fat of ox or of sheep or of goat. So here we have a commandment, and this would be incorporated into the dietary law, not to eat fat. Well, you know, fat could taste pretty good. You know, and we've all got a little bit of fat with our meat, and sometimes it tastes pretty sweet. And you could think that you could understand how people, well, how most people are. They think if it tastes good, it must be good for them. But after a few years, it obviously doesn't look good on them, because they become double of what they were before they started eating all the wrong things. So we all know that fat is not good for us, that it will shorten our life. So that we see that there's wisdom that goes beyond just making a rule here in the laws of our Heavenly Father that he's giving to the children of Israel through Moses. He says, "You shall eat no manner of fat." Well, even if we cut all the fat off, if we try very hard to cut all the fat off of the meat, we're still going to get a little bit of fat. And our Heavenly Father knew that. He didn't expect us to be so meticulous that we couldn't eat. So with that understanding, yes, we're to cut the fat off. They were to cut the fat off, and they had other uses for fat. And then the other parts of the body, or the animal, the gizzards, the liver, the stomach, the entrails, and all the inwards were to be burnt on the wood of the fire, not to be consumed, not to be used for anything whatsoever. Now, the fat they used to make soap and other things that you could do with fat. We don't really, someone makes most of our soap for us these days, so we don't even understand how that soap is made with fat and lye, but it is. Or at least most fat, I mean, the most soap is still made out of fat and lye. And they use fat to tan their hides and waterproof skins and so forth. So there was a lot of uses for fat. He says, "And the fat of the beast that dies of itself, the fat that which is toward a beast may be used in any other use, but you shall in no wise eat it." And we're at Leviticus 7:25 now. "For whosoever eateth the fat of the beast of which men offer an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah the Lord, even the soul that eateth it shall be cut off from his people." Well, certainly we know how people are cut off by eating too much fat. They have heart attacks at a young age. I've seen people die at 40 from a heart attack, and it had more to do with their diet. Even though they may have looked healthy and everything else, they still had clogged arteries. And he goes on, "Moreover, you shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be fowl or beast, in any of your dwellings. Whatsoever soul it be that eateth any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from his people." Though all of the arguments are good for not eating fat or blood, many people will say, "Well, I don't have to pay attention to that. I can eat bacon." Bacon has a lot of fat. I mean, besides it being an unclean and forbidden meat in the dietary law, it has a lot of fat. As a matter of fact, if you look at a strip of bacon in the frying pan, it is mostly fat. Yummy, huh? Yeah, see, fat does taste good. People love it. They can't have their eggs without their bacon and their toast and their margarine. And they put margarine on their toast because it's low fat. That makes a lot of sense. But the people say, "Ah, I can eat that fatty meat and the pork mostly, and the sausage, the sausage is mostly fat, and I can eat that because that was for the Old Testament. That was the Old Testament. We don't have to pay any attention to the Old Testament. We have the New Testament. And the New Testament is for the church, and the Old Testament was for the Jews. That was for Israel. And so we don't have to pay any attention to that." You've heard all heard those arguments, and some of you even believe them. Some of you have probably even used them. But let's take a look at the New Testament. I got a couple verses here. So let's go first to Acts. And we're at Acts chapter 15. I give you a minute to get there in your e-sword. Well, you don't need a minute, 30 seconds, whatever. You can look it up. We're at Acts 15 and verse 24, and we're going to read the passage here. Forasmuch, excuse me, forasmuch as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, "You must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment." And this is one, and I have another passage that I'm going to use, but this is one of the passages that they use to say, "See, we're not under the law." And you're right, you aren't under the law, unless you choose to be under the law. But no, we're not under the law. The point is different here. The point is that works are not required for salvation. You cannot work your way into heaven. You cannot make our Creator a debtor to you so that He owes you salvation. That's the point. Okay, that is the point here. But let's continue. and read on, because there's more. We can't just stop there. We can't just pick a verse out. That's why I say, when you read a verse, read everything before it and read everything after it, because no one just sent a verse with a letter with one verse in it. The letter was a whole letter. So let's read the whole thing now and see what it really says. For as much as we have heard that certain went out from us, have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. And of course, he's talking about the apostles who were in Jerusalem. And it says, it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. So we know it wasn't Barnabas or Paul, because they were sent. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Yahushua, Jesus Christ. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. So they're sending it by letter. They're sending this letter. And they're saying in this letter, we're going to send Judas and Silas, who are going to tell you the same things with their own mouth. Now here's the important part. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost. Wow, see, now when you hear something like, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost, our ears should perk up. Because if something seemed good to the Holy Ghost, shouldn't we pay attention to that? For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us, putting themselves second, of course, to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. You know, that's just like our Heavenly Father, isn't it? He does not want us to be burdened with unnecessary things. That's the opposite of what I just read to you. So, to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Now, if the Holy Spirit says something is necessary, because that's what the Scripture says, let me read it again. Let me read this verse again. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Well, first of all, our ears should perk up. We should pay attention if something seemed good to the Holy Ghost. And then if something to the Holy Ghost is a necessary thing, what does that mean? Does that mean it's not necessary? No, that means it's necessary. It means that we should pay attention to this, right? And I'm reading from the New Testament here. These are the apostles writing to the Gentiles, okay? The people of the new believers of the other nations. That's who they're writing to, and they're even sending Judas and Silas along to say these things with their mouth. A couple more of the disciples they're sending along to say these things with their mouth after they send this letter that we are reading now. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Okay, well, necessary things. These are necessary things. Can I emphasize that enough for you? Necessary things that you abstain. Here's the list of necessary things. You abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which, if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare ye well. Okay, meats offered to idols. There were a lot of temples in the lands in those days, and there was a lot of meat being offered to idols. They're supposed to abstain from meats offered to idols. Now, they may get some meat. It was offered to an idol or something, and they don't know it, and they eat it. Would they be guilty? I don't think so. Now, from blood. But these are necessary things. They're to know it, to abstain knowingly, to abstain from meats offered to idols. So if they know something is offered to an idol, they're not to eat it, for their conscience sake and for the conscience sake of the one that's offering it to them. And also, it's an opportunity for them to witness and say why they're not eating it. And so there would be pressure under circumstances to go ahead and do that, to eat the meat offered to idols knowingly, rather than, say something about it or witness. Okay, and from blood. Okay, well, we get the blood from the law. We just read that in the law. And from things strangled. So things that are strangled to retain the blood. So you have the blood in the meat. These are necessary things. Why are they necessary things? Well, I believe that they're necessary things for the same reason that they were necessarily added or part of the dietary law given to the children of Israel for their own health, and as we see, for the conscience too. So we have two reasons here. One is for health, and these things, this is a definite referral back to the law of our Heavenly Father. Now, yes, you could say here that it might allow someone to eat ham because it's not saying refrain from unclean meats. And they are talking to Gentiles, people of other nations who practiced eating, unclean meats. But just the reference to the law and a little wisdom, we should say to ourselves, yeah, I may be allowed to eat pork, but I'm not allowed to eat the fat, so I have to cut it off. You could say that if you wanted to, but I think it would be wise to abstain from all unclean meats. You look at the unclean meats, and they are scavengers and carnivores. They eat trash, basically. They're that kind of meat. And everyone knows that pork has trichina in it. It's a little organism. It's part of the pig. The pig couldn't live without it. It's a parasite that lives on the pig, and the pig lives on the parasite. They coexist. They exist together. But that parasite inside of a man or a woman or a child can wreak havoc. And everyone knows that. That's why you have to cook your pork, and real, real hot. And then, you can't really know that you've cooked every square inch or every cubic centimeter of that piece of pork, that you're not going to get some of that trichina in you, and it'll wreak havoc in your body if that organism gets in you. And they have different names for it, gout, consumption, whatever, because this is, and a lot of people have this problem, don't even know it. And it's hardly diagnosed today, but it is diagnosed. But yes, you can have it, and that's why they caution everyone historically to cook the pork and thoroughly, thoroughly cook it, right? And it, just recently, you've had to thoroughly cook everything else. No matter what kind of meat it is, they caution you to cook everything thoroughly. But that's the reason. So it would be wise to just abstain from all of the unclean meats. And how about the scavengers in the ocean, that the bottom feeders, the God's garbage disposals, that go around cleaning up all the defecation from the bottom of the ocean, the shrimp and the clams and all of the bottom feeders. Yes, yummy, huh? Delicacies. And so it would be wise to abstain from all of that. But yeah, I guess you could say that, well, he's not telling me to abstain from unclean meats here, so I can eat unclean meats if I cut off the fat. You could do that, but I don't think that would be wise. And especially in light of the next passage we're going to read. But let's, he says, you abstain from meats offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well, fare you well. And of course, fornication refers to all types of sexual sins, or, sins having to do with sex. So that would encompass adultery, visiting the local whorehouse, or just having a fling with, one of your neighbors or one of your congregants. So if you want to know what a sexual sin is, where they don't go into detail. They had the law. They had the Word of God. They didn't have the New Testament, but they had the Word of God. And these are the things, these are the issues that came up. So we know that you don't have to be circumcised. Has little to do with loving your brother or loving yourself. It has little to do with it. So circumcision is not necessary. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't be circumcised. That's up to the family, and it's up to the father of every family. But you can't, it's not your ticket to heaven. There's nothing you can do to earn the kingdom of God. And that's the other side, that's the other point is, you cannot work your way into heaven. Our Creator is not a debtor to any man. Let's go to our next passage here in the New Testament, if you're not convinced yet, and I think it gets a little more convincing. Now, and we're in, where are we? Is this 1 Timothy? I believe it is 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know, I love how all these passages start out with something that people will use against someone who says, you know, the law is good, and we need to pay attention to law at least for our own sake. And if we really love the Heavenly Father and we want to know what pleases Him, we should look into His law. But some people say that's a doctrine of devils, seducing spirits. But no, let's read the whole thing. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That means they can do anything they want as their conscience is seared. Forbidding to marry, and there's a whole pot. One side of that forbidding to marry would be, you know, the Catholic Church forbidding their priests to marry, because the word says that to be a leader in the church that you should have a wife, because you need to lead in your own family before you can lead the Heavenly Father's family. So forbidding to marry, we aren't going to get into that because that's not what we're talking about. But here's the part we're talking about. And commanding to abstain from meats. And they go, see, I can eat anything I want. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I can eat anything I want. Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving by them that believe and know the truth. For every creature, and the word here, and they'll use this word creature, but this word creature does not refer to animals. It actually, the word is ktisma in the Greek. It refers to every created thing. Every creation of God is good. And that's what the word actually means. So it's not it could be a reference to any kind of food in context. Okay, it's not specifically meat. And a lot of people like to use that, for every creature of God is good. So go that, you know, Jesus died so we could eat bacon. You know, he sanctified the pork on the cross, right? It's a little extreme illustration, but that's basically what people are saying. But every created thing of God, every creature, everything God created is good. And you know, that's true. It is good. Everything that God created is good. As a matter of fact, every day of creation, for the whole 6 days of creation, he said it was good. God saw everything that he made and created, and it was good. So nothing has changed. Every created thing, everything that God created is good. And nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Okay? And then they want to stop there. See, all I got to do is be thankful and I can eat anything I want. Well, you got to read the whole passage, because he didn't just send this one verse. Or he didn't just stop at this verse. He continued. For it is sanctified by the word of God. Huh? What does that mean? Well, we don't really have to pay attention to that part, because that doesn't fit in. I mean, if we're looking for a license to eat anything we want, we don't want to read that verse because it's sanctified by the word of God. Well, what does the word sanctified mean here? Set apart? It's made holy? That's what it means, to sanctify, to set apart. And if something is sanctified by the word of God, what does that mean? That we took a Bible and smacked it upside the head, you know, or you took your Bible and beat it to death? No, that means that we read the Word of God and we found out what He set apart by His Word. For it is set apart by the Word of God. And what Word of God? They didn't have the New Testament when this was written, remember? They only had the Word of God, and that was, and they had, most of them were using the Greek, the Septuagint, because the Old Testament had been translated into Greek, you know, almost 300 years B.C., thereabout, and continually thereafter had been translated into Greek. And we get a clue here, because the New Testament, as we have it now, is written in Greek. And that was fairly, pretty much the common written language of the day was Greek. So they had the Greek. They had the Septuagint, they had the Old Testament, that was the Word of God, for it is sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. So you read the Word, you find out, and this fits perfectly with the passage that we just read in Acts, where we had a specific reference to necessary things, and it pointed back to Diet in the Law. You're listening to Cross the Border. Visit my website, shoot me an email, let me know what you think. Crosstheborder.org. We'll be back in a few minutes.